It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Judith Sears-Poisson, in for Rob Ferret. You're with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, glimpses of urban foxes and coyotes in the city are happening routinely these days. We'll hear about a new project out to answer some key questions about urban wildlife.
First, two federal court decisions in the past couple of days could affect Wisconsin's voters and elections.
Yesterday, a federal judge dismissed parts of a challenge to the state's voter ID law, but left room for clarification on what types of identification could be accepted.
And in a separate case on Thursday, a panel of federal judges allowed a lawsuit about the state's redistricting plan to continue.
For more on these decisions and how it will affect future elections in the state, we're joined by Rick Hazen. He's the Chancellor's Professor of Law and Political Science at the University of California, Irvine. He also runs the Election Law blog. Rick, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
Well, let's start with the voter ID decision, Rick. What did the judge decide regarding Wisconsin's voter ID law?
Well, the first thing the judge did was reject a Voting Rights Act challenge to the law as a whole, and the plaintiffs expected that. The point of this was just to preserve it for a potential future appeal to the Supreme Court. The Seventh Circuit, in an earlier case last year, you may remember, rejected a similar kind of challenge. And so that's out. But what the judge did say was that it's possible to bring a claim about some of the specifics of the law, particularly not accepting technical college IDs, not accepting expired IDs or out-of-state IDs. And so that's going to go forward. He also left open the possibility of challenges based on the idea that this was a law that was intended to discriminate against Democrats and fence Democrats out of the political process. And that's not a theory that the courts had looked at the last time that this law was challenged.
Well, let's go back to those types of IDs voters can use. What reasoning was the state using, or what were they arguing to say that certain types of IDs were not valid for voting? And which ones did they specifically single out?
Well, the way that voter ID laws work is that they'll typically have a list of the types of IDs that are acceptable. So in some states, you might be able to bring your utility bill. In other states, you might have to bring something that is a current photo ID that has an expiration date. This was turns out to be a big problem with student IDs, which generally don't have expiration dates. And in Wisconsin, I think the colleges added expiration dates to get around that problem. And so the claim is that that the plaintiffs are bringing is that the IDs that are being rejected are just as valid in terms of verifying someone's identity as the ones that are accepted, and it's therefore a violation of equal protection to deny those voters the chance to be able to vote with these particular forms of ID.
So the court did say that they were leaving that for further consideration. Did they give any opinion about whether it was a valid restriction on what types of IDs could be used?
No, this was at a very early stage of the case. This is just going to let it go forward on the basis of evidence. The one piece that is really interesting about the judge's ruling is that the judge said, look, I'm a district court judge. I'm bound by what the United States Court of Appeals for the Seventh Circuit said in the last case. But I just want to be on the record as saying that the whole idea that voter ID laws promote public confidence is not something that I think is actually true. And so the judge really went out of his way to express skepticism about what the courts had held in the last round of briefing and decision in this case.
So you also said that another challenge that was left open is the claim that this law discriminates against Democratic voters. What specifically is the argument there?
Well, in Wisconsin, as in I think all the states where these new strict voter ID laws have been passed, they pass on party lines. And it's pretty much understood that to the extent these laws have any effect on turnout, they are likely to affect people who are poor, who are minority voters, who are moving voters, younger voters, all groups that tend to vote Democratic. And Democrats have argued that this law is actually intended to make it harder for those likely to vote Democratic to vote. And even Judge Richard Posner of the Seventh Circuit, who had rejected that argument back in 2007 when there was a challenge to Indiana's law, recently suggested in a dissenting opinion in the last round of the Wisconsin voter ID case that that is actually the reason that these laws are being passed. And so that's going to get a fuller airing in this new case.
So generally when bringing a court case, the plaintiffs have to have some kind of standing and be affected, directly affected in the situation. Who is it exactly that are the plaintiffs in this case?
Well, these are plaintiffs that are, some are Democrats, some are people who have the wrong kinds of IDs. And so if you are, for example, have only an identification that is expired, then you could potentially be in the plaintiff's class to bring this kind of suit.
And are there any larger organizations that are backing these claims by the plaintiffs?
Well, you'll have to talk to someone who's more familiar with the kind of the politics of what's behind all of this than I am from my perch out here in California.
We're talking with Rick Hazen. He's the Chancellor's Professor of Law and Political Science at the University of California, Irvine. He also runs the Election Law blog. And, Rick, the Wisconsin Elections Board has said it will be tough to implement voter ID requirements in time for 2016's elections. Could this law make things tougher for the organization to implement?
Well, you know, the GAB that's been running elections has now been put out of business, and
right.
There's a transition to a new board. It would not surprise me to see a new lawsuit or maybe an add-on to this lawsuit arguing that even if voter ID laws generally are constitutional and don't violate the Voting Rights Act, if the state can't show it can actually get IDs into the hands of everyone that wants them in time and to implement the law fairly, that maybe the law needs to be put on hold. This claim was actually made successfully in a challenge to Pennsylvania's voter ID law, where there the Department of Transportation really couldn't process all the people who want to get IDs. The law was put on hold, and eventually the government gave up trying to enforce this voter ID law, and they don't have that new law in effect right now.
So is it possible, do you think, that that kind of delay or that putting it on hold could happen in Wisconsin?
It certainly is possible that it could be put on hold. I don't think that putting it on hold would mean that it wouldn't be implemented in future elections, but mm-hmm. There could be a fight over its use in the 2016 elections, and that would really depend upon what the evidence shows about how many people who want to get these state-issued IDs would not be able to get them in time in order to be able to vote in the upcoming elections.
Let's move on to the other federal decision yesterday. A panel of judges has allowed a lawsuit into Wisconsin's redistricting plan to continue. What was the reasoning for allowing that case to proceed?
Well, this is a really complicated area of law. So when the claim is that when you draw district lines for the General Assembly in that case, but it could also be for congressional districts or for other districting, that if you draw the lines and you do so to help one party and hurt another party, perhaps that violates the Equal Protection Clause of the Constitution. This is a claim called a partisan gerrymandering claim. And the state of these claims are very odd right now. There are four justices on the court who reject on the Supreme Court, who reject all such arguments and say these cases are non-justiciable, they can't be heard in court. There are four justices on the court who think that these are good claims and court should start policing when Republicans try to make it hard for Democrats to elect people they want or Democrats to do this to Republicans. And then there's Justice Kennedy in the middle. He's the swing justice on the court and on this issue. And what he says is, I haven't found a standard that lets me decide when it's acceptable to take party information into account in drawing district lines and when it's unconstitutional. I've rejected all the standards that have come before me so far, but keep trying to come up with a new standard. And so what this Wisconsin case is trying to come up with a new standard to argue, here's how you can know when taking party into account in drawing district lines is too much and crosses the line into unconstitutionality. What the three judges said in the opinion yesterday was, there's enough of a theory of a new way of trying to do this that we're going to let the parties gather evidence and make their case before the court.
Very briefly, in the last minute or so that we have, just this afternoon, three district attorneys have moved to try to bring the state's John Doe investigation before the Supreme Court. What are the chances that the court would take that case?
Well, there are two issues there. One is about whether the Wisconsin Supreme Court has correctly interpreted the campaign finance laws. I think that one maybe does not have a good chance. But the other is that the justices on the Wisconsin Supreme Court should have recused themselves because they themselves were beneficiaries of some of the same groups that were before them in their own reelection campaigns. And so the argument is it violates due process for them not to have recused themselves from deciding the case. The court could be interested in that. Again, it may depend on what Justice Kennedy thinks.
And so what would the next step be in that?
Well, the next place to go is the Supreme Court, and there would a decision would have to be made to file what's called a cert petition. That would go to the Supreme Court. It's completely discretionary as to whether or not the court would decide to take that case if the court is asked to do so.
And that would probably, if they do decide to take it, that probably wouldn't be for at least another year down the road?
Well, it takes a few months to get this going, and there's responses, and so I think it's possible that the court could decide by the end of its term in June to hear the case, and it would probably hear it next year if it agreed to hear the case.
And as you said, there were some that that would vote one way or the other. Is there any prediction on how it might go?
Well, we know that Justice Kennedy cares very much about judges not appearing to be biased in cases. Even Chief Justice Roberts in a recent case suggested that. So there might be some interest on the court in this case. It really depends upon whether they think what's going on in before the Wisconsin Supreme Court with their elected justices is really egregious compared to what usually goes on when judges have to take campaign contributions to run for office.
Rick, thanks so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Rick Hazen is the Chancellor's Professor of Law and Political Science at the University of California, Irvine. He also runs the Election Law blog.